In this final example, Buddhism and science clearly part company, since science, at least in principle, does not acknowledge any form of scriptural authority. But in the first two domains, the application of empirical experience and reason, there is a great methodological convergence between the two investigative traditions. In our day-to-day life, however, we regularly and habitually use the third method of testing claims about reality. For example, we accept the date of our birth on the verbal testimony of our relatives and in relation to the written testimony of a birth certificate. Even in science, we accept the results published by experimenters in peer-reviewed journals without ourselves repeating their experiments. My engagement with science was undoubtedly given greater depth through my encounter with the remarkable physicist David Bohm, who had one of the greatest intellects and most open minds I've ever come across. I first met him in England in 1979, during my second trip to Europe, and we both felt an immediate rapport. Indeed, I later found out that Bohm, too, had been in exile, having been forced to leave America during the persecutions of the McCarthy era. We began a lifelong friendship and a mutual intellectual exploration. David Bohm guided my understanding of the subtlest aspects of scientific thought, especially in physics, and exposed me to the scientific worldview at its best. While listening very carefully in a detailed conversation with a physicist like Bohm or von Weizsäcker, I would feel that I could grasp the intricacies of the full argument. Unfortunately, when the sessions were over, there was often not a great deal left. My long discussion with Bohm over two decades fueled my own thinking about the ways Buddhist methods of inquiry may relate to those used in modern science. I particularly admired Bohm's extraordinary openness to all areas of human experience, not only in the material world of his professional discipline, but in all aspects of subjectivity, including the question of consciousness. In our conversations, I felt the presence of a great scientific mind, which was prepared to acknowledge the value of observations and insights from other modes of knowledge than the objective scientific. One of the particular qualities Bohm exemplified was the fascinating and essentially philosophical method of conducting a scientific inquiry by means of thought experiments. Simply put, this practice involved conjuring an imaginary scenario within which a specific hypothesis is tested by examining what consequences it may hold for assumptions normally thought to be irrefutable. A great deal of Einstein's work on the relativity of space and time was conducted by means of such thought experiments, which tested the understanding of physics that was current at the time. A famous example is the twins paradox, in which one brother remains on Earth while another travels on a spaceship at a rate approaching the speed of light. For the brother on the ship, time should slow down. If he were to return 10 years later, he would find that his brother on Earth would have aged significantly more than he had. The full appreciation of this paradox requires an understanding of complex mathematical equations, which unfortunately lies beyond my skill. In my engagement with science, I've always been extremely excited by this method of analysis because of its close parallels with Buddhist philosophical thinking. Before we met, Bohm had spent much time with the Indian spiritual thinker Jiddu Krishnamurti and even participated in a number of dialogues with him.